Bibi.
Hello and welcome to Pod Culture Vultures.
Get away from her, you bitch!
With me, Dino, and joined with me, as always, is my hetero life mate, Keverini Beanie.
Hello!
Oh, here he is. Hello! Straight out of the box. Straight out of the box. Halfway down the trap.
That's it.
Down the trap. Lovely. How you been then, sausage?
You know how it is, rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Sandy. Ooh.
What a
fucking film is just so inappropriately rapey.
It is.
Sandy! Did she put up a fight? Yeah, she did, but I still forced it in. Fucking hell.
Bad times.
So you've been all right then?
All right, yeah. Been all diddling, right. Daddling.
Doodling.
Exactly.
Seen anything new, anything good, any good music, any good
what
films?
What have I watched? Did I mention the M. Night Shyamalan TV show on Apple TV?
Servant, no.
I've been watching.
Servant?
Servant, yeah. Ooh. With so you've got the British actors, Toby Kebbell and Rupert Grint. Yeah. And it's really kind of surreal. I've just finished watching the season one this morning, and it's got like a really creepy like feel to it. Do you know what? I'm not going to explain anything. I think it'd be worth you having a.
I'll have a look at it. The thing is, I often get a bit disappointed with him sometimes. What was the one when it turned out to be the fucking wind was alive?
Oh, that was The Happening. It was Mother Nature seeking revenge or something like that, wasn't it?
A big pile of shit.
Which is a shame, really, because I felt that the first...
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. As Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Hey, I think the first like 20 minutes or so I thought was great, because it just it went straight into it and everything was just all over the fucking place, and people were just like randomly dying and hanging themselves. And it was just no one knew what was going on, and then it ended up being Mother Nature like seeking revenge, but
Mother Nature. Now, I haven't seen anything new. I really want to see that Bob Marley biopic. Quite interesting seeing that.
A One Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy really looks like him, doesn't he? It's Also, it reminds me of have you seen the first image now they've released of the Michael Jackson biopic called Michael? It's directed by Antoine Fuqua,
right?
Who did Training Day, and I think it's his Michael Jackson's nephew, and I think with the help of like you know makeup and hair and stuff, like there's this one picture and he's like, on stage. Honestly, you think it was him? Like it was.
Yeah, but when?
What
I mean is Michael Jackson looked different quite a lot, didn't
he?
Oh,
I see what you mean.
I mean, until the end. I mean, does he look like a fucking teapot from Beauty and the Beast?
No. It was more around the like the bad sort of talk.
Oh, so he just started off doing that.
Very much like what Corey Feldman is trying to model himself on now.
So very much when Corey Feldman obviously
was.
Friendly.
Macaulay
Culkin.
But yeah, Servant. What's Servant?
Give that a whack.
You've got me. Hang on a minute. Bear with me. Have a moment, right? And I'll just.
Well, as I say, I watched the.
Is you right?
Maniac Cop 1, 2, and 3 the other day.
Oh, did you?
Fucking great.
What did you watch them all in a row?
Sort of. Well, yeah.
Back to back.
Yeah. It's Bruce Campbell's obviously in the first one, quite good. But it's that guy that's got the massive chin out of Tango and Cash, isn't it? Is the maniac cop?
Oh, the one they put in the slammer.
Yeah.
What's it? Because he gets electrocuted, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, you put me in here.
Yeah.
Gash.
I loved you in Conan the Barbarian.
That's it. That's it, yeah. Because he says something like quite menacing or something. Yeah. It's like, I tell you what I did watch. I've watched a number of movies. But the latest one I watched, the new one I watched, was King Richard. It was the one where Will Smith won the Oscar for, moments after the...
Slap
actually, that was
first.
A
cool
one. Yeah. And that...
Shit!
That was excellent. He plays the father to Serena.
Well, yeah,
and Vanessa Williams.
It's the tennis thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the barber. But brilliant, absolutely. Brilliant. I mean, like, it's one of those biopics where, I mean, it's no spoiler, but at the end when they do the credits, you see, the fella himself. And what they've done with like hair and makeup and like slight prosthetics, and then what with Will Smith's acting and copying his mannerisms, you'd think it was the same guy.
Yeah.
It was really.
So he deserved the Oscar then for that portrayal, but could have done without giving Chris Rock a smack.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because he won the Oscar after that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got the Oscar after that. But so I got to that. That was good. And then. I introduced Mad Max Fury Road to the wee lad.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, because I mean, look, it's
is that one not so bad?
No, it's not really, because me and the missus watched it not long before, and she sort of suggested, oh, maybe we should show it to him, because it's quite a spectacle movie, isn't it? And so we watched it, and he loved it, and then when he was around, like the other day. We said, oh, let's have a movie night. What do you want to watch? And he said, I want to watch Mad Max Fury Road, Black and White Edition. Because I've got the, what's called the black and chrome.
Yeah.
It's the colour and the black and white.
Yeah.
And then we watched that and he loved it and he was pinned.
Yeah.
And he said afterwards, because I prefer the black and white one.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. Which, I mean, to be honest with you, so did I.
Is it more violent?
No, I just think in terms of like...
It's just
because it's very oversaturated as the first, the original one. And then the black and white being very, because it's very monochromatic, it's very bleak. And I think that works well with the bleakness of the collapse of the economy and stuff. And, you know, water's become scarce and people have become scavengers. And I think it really adds
petrol. Petrol's non-existent nearly.
Almost, yeah.
You didn't show him the first one then. Mel Gibson.
No,
that is a bit fucking heavy. Yeah. It's heavy.
That's a bit heavy at times. So I said, well, we'll watch them a little bit later. But watched that. Watched a couple other movies and Valentine's Night. Me and the missus decided to watch a really traditional Valentine's movie to celebrate. We watched the
Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah,
My Bloody Valentine.
I've missed the trick, haven't I? No, we watched Prey.
Prey.
You know the Predator
one. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Oh well, that sort of leads us into kind of our subject for today.
Now, what shall we talk about?
Badass. Women in the movies.
Tastes so good, make you want to slap your mama, don't it, Willie?
Yeah, boy. Hey, mama.
What the hell you want with...
We're going to have to tread a bit carefully again on this one because we don't want to be misogynistic or anything. Or
we're not, though, are we?
No, but also we're not going to over... I can't remember what the word is.
We felt it was about time we celebrated...
Women... In the movies, because quite often there's a lot of times saying, oh, there's no female role models. And I think there are badass female role models, but quite often because they're in films that are a bit more violent or horror-y type stuff.
Adult in nature.
Yeah. It's like, you know, not an awful lot of women probably... Well, no, an awful lot of women have seen them, but I just think they miss a trick. For instance, straight off the bat is Ripley from Alien.
Lieutenant Ellen Ripley, yeah.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver, brilliant action hero.
Sorry, I'm just drinking my tea. I'll tea my biscuits that you kindly provided for me.
Double-hard bastard.
The thing is, what I admire about the Ripley character, which I still do now, is it's the transcendence from being. See, she's warrant officer Ripley, isn't she? In the first one, she's one of the crew of the Nostromo, and the long story short, the crew, the mining vessel, was Nostromo. The crew are on their way back, and they intercept a signal. They check it out, ends up being an alien, and then it becomes a real cat and mouse game. Boom. But she's one of the characters, isn't she? I always remember watching it. And what I really admired, apart from her character, was how she became. She wasn't the main focal character throughout most of the movie.
No.
Mainly it's like Tom Skerritt's Dallas. And then she kind of emerges through it as they're all kind of getting picked off one by one. And, you know, she's very.
Well, she's the last. She's what they call the last girl, don't they? The last,
last woman standing.
But
she's like a no bullshit, by the books kind of
officer
individual. Yeah, very rational, and throughout the movie, as she sort of transcends from that to badass action hero.
Yeah, no time to be timid. She's got a and in that one it is this one alien, isn't there? And it is creepy. It is, you know what I mean.
It's almost like they're trying to outwit each other, aren't they? You know, and I think her character becomes very sort of is very relatable, and she isn't a two dimensional character. And I think if I remember right, at this moment in time, I think. It was a very daring thing to do in cinema to have a female character being represented in that manner. Because usually it's always a male
character. Well, it's 1979?
79 is the first one, yeah.
And then you've got the second one, Aliens, which not only you've got Ripley, but you've also got...
The Colonial Marines.
Is it Sanchez?
Sanchez? The Vasquez.
Vasquez, that's it. Sorry.
Yes, there's a lot more equality, isn't it? Because, I mean, even in the first one, there is equality in sense of the crew are made up of multi-ethnicity. I'll get it out in a minute. But also, you know, you've got males and females. Whereas with the other female character... oh God, her name's just slipped me by. She's portrayed almost in the way that a lot of female characters would be portrayed in that kind of horror, sort of genre of movie. You know, scared out of her mind, needs a male hero to save the day. She's very scared. We all would be in that sort of circumstance. Whereas like Ripley emerges is like, no, I have to adapt. I have to react, you know, and I just go with my gut instincts and just instincts just takes over. By the time you get to the second one, you know, she's tormented by it. You find out that she's lost her daughter.
Isn't that more to do with the fact that she's been in status for like 3,000 years or something?
She's been at, is it 60 odd years?
Yeah.
And she finds out her daughter's like, you know, you find out she's a mother and she's lost her daughter. And then her kind of sort of, the way Cameron sort of redeems the character is that she comes across a young girl called Newt. And she becomes the motherly figure, the mother figure to the child and the protector. She plays that kind of character archetype. She becomes the protector. And this time she's amongst a very collective band of Colonial Marines who are made up of like they're supposed to be the most badass intergalactic.
Bill Paxton's.
Yeah, like brigade. And you've got Vasquez and you've got Hicks and Hudson, and you've got a real colourful mix of characters. But again, she emerges as the last woman standing. But there was always that. I always remember, like, again, there's like a lot of essays and stuff have been written, a lot of reviews have been like spoken about regarding like her representation as a female character in cinema. And there is that shot, which is on my arm, where she's holding Newt and she's got the weapons and she's facing adversity. Yes, that one, being in the queen alien, almost like an impossible scenario. And there she is, the protector, the
one mother to another.
Yeah. And but and it's not, you don't have many characters, or there haven't been many female characters on screen that represent all of that.
No.
And I'm sure we are going to touch on a few others, because there's another one in another James Cameron movie which came before Aliens and after, because he did Aliens, didn't he? But before he did Aliens, he did The Terminator.
Sarah Connor.
So Sarah Connor.
But there's a massive arc with her character between Terminator and Terminator 2.
Yeah, or even Terminator Dark Fate, which I watched again recently.
She's like, Sarah Connor in The Terminator, she's still kind of portrayed as a bit of the victim, because Reese has to go back to help her, and obviously, unbeknown spoilers, he turns out to be John Connor's father.
Yeah, in some real mad like time twist. Loop.
Yeah, so he goes back, obviously, based on the fact that he just seen a picture of her, likes her, and goes back, but sort of.
She's your kind of like everyday person at the time, isn't she? She works in a diner.
Yeah, you know. But also she's being treated like shit, isn't she, in the diner. The kid puts the fucking ice cream down there. She's not quick enough for these arseholes that want their coffee and stuff.
That's right, yeah.
And in fact, one of them congratulates the kid for putting the ice cream down her top, sort of thing.
Yeah, just completely disrespected. She's almost like she's invisible, isn't she?
Yeah. And that kind of goes on until sort of towards the end, when obviously Reese dies. And she has to sort of take on the Terminator and actually destroy it. But then when you come to Terminator 2, she looks completely different. She's like a real...
She's like battle-worn.
She's a soldier.
At that point, yeah.
And she doesn't seem to be afraid of anything. You know what I mean? She's really... Strong,
yeah. I mean, her main focus is to protect her son.
She may be small, but she's strong. Her first baby come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
But yeah, no, I agree. She's got a fantastic arc, and how her character grows over time, and then how she becomes a very aspiring character figure. In the world of cinema, and it's like even with the latest Terminator, which she was in, she evolves again. She's still a soldier, but she's broken by that point because of events that happen in the film, which we won't say because it could be another spoiler. But I think James Cameron writes very respectful, intriguing, and relatable female characters, I find, in his films. And the actors that he has to play these characters are just wonderful.
The Avatar films are shit, though.
Well, I like the Avatar films. I like the Avatar films.
You're going to say that.
Yeah, you know, I like the Avatar films.
I thought you might. What I was going to say is, because I'm going to say this like in one piece, is basically the horror films, slasher films throughout late 70s, 80s, early 90s, there normally was always a female lead. So, for instance, Nightmare on Elm Street, you've got Nancy, you've got Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween, you've got in Chainsaw Massacre, it's one of the girls that actually survives. Chainsaw Massacre 2, it's the DJ. She she's the last girl and survives.
Jessica Biel in the later one with Mark.
Jessica Biel, she just yeah. No, that's not the McConaughey one. Is the one with Renee Zellweger.
Oh, right, okay.
I watched that the other day, funnily enough.
Jessica Biel, that's the remake, isn't it?
Jessica Biel's the remake of Chainsaw Massacre.
I like that.
But, yeah, I really liked it as well. But the fourth one of the original run, The Next Generation, it was called. Or it was The Next Generation, or it was called The Next Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I know from reading about it that McConaughey and Zellweger were both just about to break.
Oh,
they'd man. Already filmed that, and their agents tried to get it put back and stopped before some of their other films came out because they thought it was going to do damage to their career.
Yeah, clearly didn't.
Clearly, no. But it, I don't think really anyone's much seen that one. It's not very good. But yeah. Anyway, Renee Zellweger and that, she's sort of the main female lead. But what it is they outsmart these the villains. They are almost like a victim at first, but they outsmart them, and then they get them. Like the mum in Child's Play, she's the one who ends up killing Chucky. Mm-hmm. Wow. For now. Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Little girl. She's obviously double hard. But not only that, you've got the mum in it, but also the little old woman who's the... I can't remember. She's like, she can speak to the other side, can't she? She's got a really funny little voice.
Oh, yeah. She was in a number of like 80s films, weren't she? Yeah.
Funny little squeaky voice. But some of the other films, like, which are uncomfortable to even talk about sometimes, but the I Spit on Your Grave franchise, for instance, although the female character is a victim at first by a group of men who do the worst thing imaginable, but after that, she fucking outsmarts them, and, well, they truly do get fucked up. Because there's another, like that, I'd say, the remake of Spit on Your Grave, that's really good. And some of the other ones that they did after that are really good. The film Revenge, which is like that, is it?
Oh, the Spanish one?
Yeah.
The one you recommended to me?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's
yeah.
really, really good. Although she starts off, again, being a sort of a girly type victim.
Yeah.
And that, the tables fucking turn. And I think she's a really strong character in that as well.
I think that's one of those interesting ones where it's intriguing to watch the character evolve due to the situation that they've been forced into, how they just naturally evolve from being girl A to she's very girly, she's very very pretty, very girly, short skirt, high heels, that sort of thing. Sits around
sort of portrayed as a bit of a bimbo type.
Bit of a bimbo, yeah. Then by the end of it,
bit vapid.
Yeah, she's like a Sarah Connor or a Ripley. By
well,
the
she's
end of it.
She's give fucking Rambo for a run for his
she
money.
Is, she's Rambo, isn't she? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But that there's also another film called Even Lambs Have Teeth.
Oh, you've mentioned that one before.
It's really good. It's a really good revenge film. It's these, again, two young women or young girls, basically, and they're quite sort of, I want to say, sort of vapid in there. They don't really give a shit about anything other than social media and stuff like that, and a little bit naive, so you think. And they get kidnapped and sort of used as in like a sex trafficking type thing out in the middle of the woods. But obviously when after that's happened a few times, they have enough and they really do get revenge on these blokes.
Yeah, yeah.
One bloke in particular, fucking
hell. Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Really good. I'd watch that
but
again.
I think we're going to be looking at that later in the year, though, aren't we? Those kind of films, I think you know.
Oh, yeah. I just was, from the point of view of strong, badass female characters, I think that's overlooked quite a lot because, again, I don't think it's a nice... Very nice for women to watch that happen to another woman.
Yeah.
But if you can get past that bit, then that's when you get your fucking, oh, if this ever happened, then...
Yeah.
It's a bit tricky to...
But also shifting the perspective to see it from a male point of view as well. But then also to see it from, like, a parent point of view as well. And I find that, like, a lot of these, say, these characters, I find very, like, relatable. I mean, going back to Mad Max Fury Road, for instance, you know, my darling Charlize Theron, she's the most, I find she's the most interesting character in the film. Tom Hardy's Mad Max, I thought was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But that's a man who, you know, he's been isolated, he's broken, you know. But the story's more about Charlize Theron's Furiosa, and you know, you find that she was plucked as a, she was taken away as a child, and she's lost her mother, and she's been kind of enslaved, and she has to work for this warlord, and she's lost an arm, and all this thing, and then seeing, and we learn that, but we learn that sort of backstory, then we see how it's kind of made her, and it's molded her as a woman, and as that mother sort of figure to the young women that she's trying to take away from Immortan Joe, and she's just double fucking hard, you know. but it's not just she's double hard, you know, she has a heart, she has soul, you know, she's caring, she's thoughtful, she's trusting in people, you know, and it's she's so multi-layered, and I really admire that. In a character, you know, the bride.
Kill Bill. Kill Bill, yeah.
Is another She's one. I give her another mother figure. You know, just a revenge movie. You were talking about revenge movies. I mean, that's just a simple revenge movie. Two films.
But the others are. I'd say they're badass female characters as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Daryl Hannah, for instance, she's fucking second fucking class, isn't it? First class villain.
Yeah, but it's like because I mean that film's a bit like a video game almost, isn't it? Because it's, she has to go through each one. It's almost like another level before she actually finally gets to Bill. But yeah, again, like even like the way he's written the characters, because I mean even like the first one she comes up against Vivien A. Fox. I can't remember what her code name is. You know, and they have the fight in the kitchen.
But that, I think that's the last one really within the timeline, is it? Because it kind of goes back.
Yeah, but the first one that you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, and you see these two women have this like really kind of comic book kind of fight in the kitchen and stuff. And then
Kid turns up
and you find out she's a mother. And then suddenly, you know, the bride is gone from... You fuck me up, I'm going to fuck you up. And then suddenly it's like almost a little bit of remorse. Like, well, I know how that now feels because, you know, I'm a mother and, you know, now I've found out that you're a mother and it changes the whole dynamic sort of thing. But yeah, I think there's many to sort of celebrate in cinema. I mean, even if you go back to like the 80s, if you go back to, remember Cynthia Rothrock? Remember Cynthia Rothrock, the martial artists? A very male dominant, time in cinema with martial arts, and you had Van Damme, and you had Jackie Chan, do you know what I mean? And you know, early Steven Seagal, very, very dominated by male figures, and then suddenly you had, Bruce Lee towards the end, you know, but then suddenly you had Cynthia Rothrock, Just came out of nowhere, just beating the shit out of people. And the fucking woman was incredible. Yeah. You know, absolutely incredible in terms of, like, choreography, fighting style. I mean, the acting, in all honesty, wasn't tip-top, but made up
but
for
what
it.
Are they? But in those films, I mean, fucking Van Damme and Steven Seagal certainly aren't actors, are they?
No, I watched Under Siege 2 recently. He's terrible. I mean, he's likeable in the first one, but he's, the second one's terrible. But, Cynthia Rothrock was a good one, I always thought. Who else is, like, badass? It's like if you look at Star Trek, like Lieutenant Uhura. The original one, you know, wasn't your... Yeah, you're just... What could be portrayed as woman sat at the computer reading off flashing lights with the odd line?
But she had a higher... She had a higher rank, didn't she?
She had a higher rank, yeah.
And she was a black female.
Yeah, and an absolute badass. And then even when Zoe Saldana plays her in the later ones... goes toe-to-toe with all of the male characters. And, she's very attractive, but she's a fucking good actor as well. And the character is integral to, you know, the crew and the story. And, you know, she's not just cast out over there on the side. You know, she gives the male characters, like, a real run for their money.
Hello.
And then we've got our beloved Princess Leia.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But she was really good. She's badass. Pretty much the only female character in that at that time.
At that time. Yeah, actually.
There's so little female in those films that even her brother wants to shag her.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, actually, isn't it? Aunt Beru.
Bone to a crisp.
Huh?
Aunt Beru.
Bone to a crisp, fucking hell.
Yeah. Do I always think that was a bit much for you? Because that is actually a universal. It's got a U certificate.
It is, yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
And then, because everyone else goes, I don't know about that. Because it goes back, and then there's just two skeletons like with loads of smoke coming off them, where stormtroopers apparently have... burnt them to death.
Yeah, but also when Ben Kenobi lops Thingy's arm off, and you see like
the
blood, and you think,
ooh.
Universal. Yeah. I don't know how that one got through.
Spaghetti
that one.
Spaghetti soup. He doesn't like you.
I don't like you
either.
But yeah, careful. No, this.
You'll be dead.
Oh, mate, calm down.
Always get one in a pub, don't you? Giving it all that.
Come on, look, mate, let's just sort it out. Yeah, let's
we've got the death sentence on 12 systems.
I bet you have. Let me get you
that case is a doctor. He's Doctor something.
Is he?
Yeah, that's his name, isn't it?
Let me get you a pint of blue milk. Calm you right down.
You'll be dead!
Yeah, hold on.
This little one's not worth the effort. Come, let me get you something.
Fuck off, Beardy. I'm having it out with this boy here, blonde hair, blue eyes.
Sorry about the mess. Oh, that's when Han actually shoots first. Anyway, we digress. Talking about the ladies.
That's it. But yeah, plenty of badass and respectable female characters in the... the art of film.
Yes, pop culture.
Yeah, definitely. So, just a number of our family beginning that waffling on all bloody day, couldn't we? But, one more. I will mention because which is not on my list, but I just remember seeing it in the Vulture KV. It's old Planet Terror.
Oh, with Rose McGowan, yeah, with her machine gun leg. Yeah, she's very good in that. Really good. Again, juxtaposition of two different characters in Planet Terror, then in Death Proof she plays the victim, but then when it goes to the other women that he's chasing, they are real badass.
Yeah,
because he has fucking Kurt Russell is just reduced to a snivelling little boy, isn't he, at the end when they fucking beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, isn't who's I'm trying to think. What's her name? One of the women. Oh God, I can see her. First name begins with R.
Yeah, very, we always do this. She was in Clerks.
Yeah. But what was you gonna say? What was
Rosie, something.
I've got Rosamund Pike in my mind. It's not Rosamund, but no. Yeah, but it's the one from Clerks.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson.
That's her.
Rosario, yes.
She's in Sin City as well, aren't she?
That's it. Yeah. But yeah. So there we go.
Birds. Ruined. Nah. Well done, ladies.
Oh, pardon.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Where can they find us, Kev? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now Threads. Any emails or recommendations, pop us over an electronic mail to podculturevultures@gmail.com.
Beautiful. And please remember to subscribe, follow, and rate, and all the other business that goes with your social media claptrap. But until next time, catch you on a flippity flop.
Gully Biler.
Is that it? Can you do anything else?
No, there's no more.
Right then, well, fuck off.
This is great banter. It really is.